And good morning. Welcome in to the Front Porch here on this Tuesday, the third day of June. Good morning to you. Of course, we have Mike Humble in the studios with us this morning. Mike, how you doing?
I'm blessed, brother. I never heard patchy smoke instead of partly cloudy.
What do you think about that?
Wow, how about that?
And that's coming all the way, we said, from Canada, right? Is that right?
Canada.
Right. So,
man.
And then we have Tim O'Dell in with us this morning.
Hey, Brian, how are you?
I'm good. And yourself?
I'm blessed. Thank you, brother.
Good, good. You know, it's hard. We know I was kind of talking a little bit before. I think you stepped in, but we was talking about the smoke. I said, it's interesting that it could come that far away to here.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Well, that shows you the way the global weather patterns are.
That's true. Very true.
Well, the thing about having that much fire up that way.
Yes.
And what that destroys, you know, and
burns
up. And I think about all those critters and everything that's in those woods. And stuff.
Yeah.
You know,
a lot of little lives lost there and stuff, you know, I'm sure.
And I'm sure that, you know, I mean, God knows how to do things. I mean, lightning can start a fire. He might do it sometime. But
that's true.
When man started, I think didn't they think humans started that fire up there?
I'm not really for sure, to be honest with you.
I think I've maybe seen that on the news or something. But
a lot of times it is.
Yeah,
you know, a lot of stuff going on. I was even noticing the other day they had a big pile up in downtown Gatlinburg. Did you see that? Big wreck downtown Gatlinburg. Yeah, I said, how do you have a pile up in downtown Gatlinburg when you run about 15, 20 miles an hour?
If you're lucky.
Yeah, that's true. most time when I went through there, it's really, really slow.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Start and stop,
yeah.
2 or 3 mile an hour tops.
Yeah, you're like just barely poking, you know. But, yeah, there were several cars damaged and stuff like that. I'm like, wow, really? But anyway, you know, that's some of the things that's happening around, I guess.
You know, we were just discussing earlier, see what the audience thinks about it out there. Is it pecan or pecan pie?
Well, I mean, it's like Tim said, it depends on where you're at, right?
Yeah, my great uncle, who was in Georgia.
Yes.
Grew up, born and raised and died there.
Yes.
They was pecans.
Pecans, yeah.
He told me several times when I was little,
pecans.
Boy, those were pecans.
You're saying it wrong if you say pecans.
Yeah. My grandmother, who grew up in the same family,
yeah.
says they're pecans.
So you just take it.
We could start a denomination off that.
Well, sure. Why
the
not?
Church of the pecans.
Yeah, the Church of the pecans.
The Church of the pecans.
Well, the Church of the nuts.
Yeah, Church of the nuts. There you go.
There's lots of those around.
Well, yeah. I mean, you know, hey, there was a lady back a couple of years ago. I remember hearing about it. Said she died and went to heaven, and when she got there, it was a river of chocolate and of candy and stuff like that. And she had people believing her, you know, that's what heaven's gonna look like. I'm sitting there going, boy, I said people could really corrupt somebody, can't they?
People are gullible.
Very gullible.
Having itching ears, I want to hear something that pleases my flesh.
That's it.
So that's what they listen to.
That's it.
Well, I think that's in First Michael, isn't it?
First Michael.
First Brian 2.
First Brian 2. That's there you go.
First Brian chapter 2.
Yeah, yep. That's it. But this morning, we're going to be in Deuteronomy.
Start in Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 39. I'm reading from the New American Standard. Know therefore today, and take it to your heart that the Lord, He is God, in heaven above and on the earth below. There is no other.
Okay. So that's what we're going to be talking about when we come back.
Hello and welcome. I'm Ken Cummins, and here's today's Word in 60 Seconds. The Bible says in Psalm 119, 151, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth." There's power in the Word of God. This truth is illustrated in a story told by C.H. Spurgeon. An agnostic who belonged to what was known as the Hellfire Club attended a service where George Whitefield was preaching. At the next meeting of the club, the young man began to ridicule the evangelist before the other members, repeating Whitefield's words and mimicking his inflections and gestures. About halfway through through the speech, however, he stopped abruptly as the Holy Spirit began to convict him. Responding to the message he had been repeating so flippantly, he confessed his sin and opened his heart to Christ right then and there. That young man became a zealous witness who led many others to Christ. I'm Ken Cummins, and that's today's Word in 60 Seconds. And remember, the world needs King Jesus.
It has blessed me more than I can express. The encouragement it brings, it's like water. It's like oxygen for the soul.
100% listener-funded missionary radio.
24/7 missionary radio.
And welcome back to the front porch here on this Tuesday morning. Of course, Mike Humble and Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. And, of course, in Deuteronomy.
439. Yeah.
Now, go ahead and read that one more time if you still got it up there, Tim. You still got it up.
I can do that. Give me a half second.
Okay. Time's up. No, I'm just joking. I'm just messing.
Know therefore today and take it to heart, to your heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above and on earth below. There is no other.
Amen.
So He's God above.
And below.
He's God below.
And there is no other.
And there's no other.
You mean Allah and God's not the same?
They're not.
You know, Muhammad, a lot of people think they are.
Oh, yeah, Muhammad and Buddha and all those. I mean, they think. Well, I've heard people say that they all have their good points.
Well, that's not true.
And that's not true by no means.
God says of Himself, I am God, beside me there is no other. That's repeatedly stated in Scripture. There is no God except the God of heaven, the creator of heaven and earth. That's why Genesis is so important.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I have to understand that all that is came into being by the word of God. He spoke it into existence.
Absolutely.
The English word is fiat.
Yeah.
Not the little car.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
It means He speaks and it is.
Yeah.
Not we do it, He does it.
Yes.
There's so many distorted doctrines been pulled out of basic truths and twisted over the years. But the point I want to get at today is that God is absolutely in charge of everything. If He made it all and it belongs to Him, you find repeatedly it says He is the possessor of heaven and earth.
Mm-hmm.
It belongs to Him. He may do with it as He sees fit.
Mm-hmm.
He's in charge.
That's right.
Okay? There is nothing that occurs in this world outside the providential hand and the sovereign hand of Almighty God. Mm-hmm. Nothing.
That's right.
So
that's right.
God's plans that are unfolding through the ages, we find it from Genesis to the close of the Revelation, there are several divine decrees that were issued, if you will, before the dawning of time.
Okay.
The one we're most interested in is called redemption.
Yes.
God's plan of redemption was put in place before time began.
Yes. Yes.
So God had a plan to redeem wicked man before He made wicked man.
Very true. Very true.
That plan is culminated in the work of Christ on Calvary and actually manifest at the end of the age.
Yes.
But God operates on what they call the long game.
Oh, yeah, sure, absolutely. The long game.
He sees the big picture.
Yeah.
The big picture.
The beginning and the ending.
That's right.
He says, I am the beginning and the end.
Now, of course, we know, I feel like closer to the end times, we're going to see more and more people come out and say, hey, I'm Jesus.
We're already seeing that.
I know, matter of fact, Our associate pastor of our church sent me one the other day of this guy that says he's Jesus, and he's got followers, and they interviewed some of his followers and said, oh, yeah, we believe he's the Messiah.
Yeah.
You know, because he comes on and mentions one of the things he remembers the most is the nails through his hands and feet, you know, when they nailed him to the cross. He's saying all this stuff, and you're sitting here watching it, and you're sitting here going, wow. I said, and people are following him.
We were talking about this earlier, Brian.
Yeah, yeah.
People have itching ears. They want to hear what they want to hear.
That's it.
And every false prophet, every false Messiah tells people what they want to hear.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay?
And two, I was sharing with them off mic. I remember back a few years ago, there was a lady that said that she, you know, went to heaven and it was a river of chocolate, and everything was candy and chocolate, and you know, people was believing her because
that's Willy Wonka, not heaven.
That's what I'm saying. That's you know, Willy Wonka. I mean, I wonder if she just watched Willy Wonka before she had that dream that heaven was, you know. I'm like, my goodness. But you know, you'll hear people say, "Well, I can't wait to get to heaven. I'm gonna go up there and I'm gonna mud and I'm gonna kill deer and I'm gonna go fishing." And you know, I'm sitting there going, "What? No."
They're reading a different Bible than I am.
We're going to be praising him forever.
And enjoying
every minute of it.
That's it.
You know. Listen, I enjoy going fishing. I enjoy when I was younger. I used to go mud and four-wheeler riding. I loved it. It was a fun pastime. But the fun we're going to have and the joy we're going to have in heaven is going to be a lot different.
Well, see, C.S. Lewis, you're familiar with C.S. Lewis.
Yes.
C.S. Lewis talked about us being made fit for heaven.
Mm-hmm.
And the concept he's arguing that as we are in this world, we wouldn't like heaven very much.
Yeah.
But God's in the process, through the work of his Spirit, to reshape who we are, mm-hmm. to prepare us for that day, so that when we are ready to cross over, we'll be different creatures, which is what the Scripture again tells us.
Sure.
And we get there, it'll fit perfectly. We'll be thrilled with it.
Yeah.
Because we've been made fit for it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And two, Tim, do you feel like, too, that, you know, he's molding us every single day?
Oh, he's at work in us all the time.
You know, and I think about the gospel song, "He Didn't Throw the Clay Away."
Right.
Great old gospel song. And I'm so thankful he didn't throw the clay away, you know, that Amen. He's still molding us and he's still making us in who we're supposed to be.
Yeah.
You know.
He's in the process of transforming us into the likeness of Christ.
Yes.
Not to be Christ, but to be mm-hmm. like Christ.
Yeah.
In terms of attitude, in terms of love.
That's
in
right.
In terms of commitment.
That's
in
right.
In terms of faithfulness to him.
That's right.
We forget, and this is a human failing on all our parts.
Yes.
We think it's about us.
Oh, yeah.
And definitely. It's not about us. Mm-mm. It's about the Lord of glory.
That's right.
We are created for an express purpose, and that is to bring honor and glory to the living God.
Amen. That's right.
But in order to do that, we need to understand him for who he is.
Well, sure.
And that's why his sovereignty is so important.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Then you can get into providence. That's a whole other thing. But God's orchestrating everything to the fulfillment of his divine decrees.
Yeah.
And we are the recipients of the grace that's associated with that, mm-hmm. not because we're worthy of it,
yeah.
not because we did anything, but because God in his grace chose to grant us mercy.
Amen.
And that's reason to shout.
And we don't know everything.
No.
We don't know much of anything.
If you get a minister up there and preaches like he knows everything, you're in trouble.
You better watch out.
Better watch out. Which denomination is the best, do you know? That'll get into a fight, won't it?
That'll get in a big fight.
But you they know, do. Everybody thinks they're right.
You know, people ask me, said, you know, where do you go to church at? I said, I'm a child of God.
There you go.
I said, denomination to me, I mean, you know, I know it's important. I guess it's important,
to
have a denomination, but I just want to be a child of the King. You know, I can get along with anybody. Any place, through my years of singing and being around, I've been to Baptist churches, Methodist churches, Pentecostal churches, Presbyterian churches, and I said, you know, I have found good in all that worship in those churches. I get along with everybody.
Well, it ain't the label; it's the relationship.
That's it.
That's it.
And
that's it.
There are a lot of people in churches that have a good relationship with the Lord.
Oh yeah.
There are other people in churches in the same churches that have no relationship with the Lord and put on a good face.
Well, when you're in a country like Bangladesh, where Agape has ministry, and you're 91% Muslim, 8% Hindu,
mm-hmm.
and less than 1% because that's split between Buddhists and Christians.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you stick pretty close to Christians no matter what group there are.
Yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because there's so few of them. And I think that's the way we have to, whether you go to a Methodist church or a Baptist church or a Pentecostal church, if you really believe in Jesus, you're a brother, sister in the Lord.
That's it.
That's it.
The key phrase is if you really believe.
Yeah, if you really believe.
And you're committed to the Scriptures.
But what I'm saying is, I mean, you can usually tell if somebody believes or don't believe. You spend some time with them.
Oh, yeah. You can catch it. You can catch it pretty much right offhand, you know. Once you start talking to somebody, you can tell if they're a believer or not a believer.
Yeah.
That person's spirit will bear witness with your
Absolutely.
Spirit
that
they are a child of God.
Every time it will. Well, let's break away just for a few moments, and we're going to get into our Pen from the Heart here on Missionary Radio.
The Lord says in Isaiah 55:11, "So shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it."
God is active in the hearts and lives of our listening family. Thank you, family, for sharing your thoughts with us. Also, thank you for praying, for listening, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
Here are today's comments from Missionary Radio's Penned from the Heart.
From Clarksville, God loves you guys, and so do I. Thank you for all you do. From Princeton, wonderful station. God bless each of you is my prayer. From Hopkinsville listener, I can't imagine not having Missionary Radio. Also from Clarksville, thank you for giving us the Word of God to listen to every day.
Thank you for sharing what the Lord is doing through the ministry of 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio in your life.
We'd love to hear from you. Please call our testimony and Penned from the Heart line at 270-962-4055.
Write to us at P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241.
And online at missionary.radio.
Missionary. Missionary Radio.
Aaron Schuss, This I Know, here on Missionary Radio. And once again, good morning to you. Of course, Mike Campbell and Tim O'Dell in with us this morning. And out of Deuteronomy. Chapter, what was it again? I'm sorry.
We started in chapter 4, verse 39.
Chapter 4. Okay, now where are we rolling to next?
Chapter 32.
Okay.
Verse 39.
All right.
"See now that I am He, and there is no God besides me. It is I who put to death and give life. I have wounded, and it is I who heal. There is no one who can deliver from my hand."
Amen.
Amen.
No one. So it's not Allah that's going to deliver you.
It's not one of these popular leaders.
It's not going to be a name it and claim it.
It's not going to be a Benny Hinn kind of guy.
Now, I don't want to get into personalities, but let me tell you something. We have to stick to the Word of God today.
I agree
with
that.
There's all kinds of things out there, you know, and everybody likes different things, and that's okay because that's where you are. You know, but still, you know, we have to keep to the Scripture. That's got to be our foundation.
It has to be our
foundation.
We
have to be like the Berean Christians. We have to check what we hear daily against the Scripture to see if it's so or not.
Absolutely.
There's a lot of it that ain't so.
Mm-hmm.
And the only way we find out is check it against the Word of God.
That's it. So if you have a minister up there ministering and you just don't feel just the way it should be, I think the Lord gives you discernment.
Oh, yeah.
Then that's where you need to go and check it out on your own.
Absolutely.
Study that.
Every sermon you hear, you ought to check against the Scriptures.
Yes.
I don't care who they are. It can be me or Mike or anybody else you can think of. We're all human beings. And as such, we are subject to making errors in understanding and errors in our message.
Yes.
Now, I pray every time I open the Word that I won't do that, but I'm a flawed person.
Sure, sure.
So I tell the folks, and Mike can verify, I tell them, don't take my word for it. Check it in the Scripture.
Check it in the Scripture.
Always check it in the Scripture.
I know a minister back a few weeks ago had to apologize for something that he had mentioned, and he said, "The Lord corrected me." So he said, "I've got to tell you I'm sorry."
Yeah. Amen.
He said, I took it wrong. I done something I shouldn't have done, and I'm going to tell you I'm sorry, and I'm going to correct it right now."
Yeah.
You know, and I think, too, if you're a true minister of God that he's going to also correct you as well. He's going to say, now, wait a minute.
That's right.
Yeah, we call it a check in the spirit.
Check in the spirit.
Yeah, pulling the reins back. Saying, yeah. Hold on, boy.
Hold on. You better check out what you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, you know, none of us like to be corrected, but really the correction is wisdom.
Well, and if you love me, you'll correct me.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely.
Exactly. So,
but how should you do that correction?
Well, the scripture gives us a pattern.
Yeah.
Okay?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If I do something I ought not to,
yes.
Mm-hmm. Mike should come to me privately.
That's right.
Right.
And if I won't listen to him, then he can go get another brother and come back and we'll do it again.
Right? That's right.
If he still won't listen, then we'll take it to the body.
Yes.
Yeah.
But there is a procedure outlined in Scripture, how mm-hmm. you address these things.
Yes.
And again, there is no one who is immune to error. There's no one that's got a corner on the truth.
True.
Okay? God's got a corner on the truth, nobody else.
So when you mess up, I shouldn't gossip about you.
No, you should come to me and tell me, brother, you're out of line. If you love me, you'll challenge me.
Absolutely.
But not in public, not a public forum.
No.
You'll try to do it the scriptural way.
Yes.
It can become a public forum if I won't listen.
Well,
but you have to have grounds to do that.
Yeah. I can remember back several years ago, I had a minister, and, you know, there was a situation in my life, and the minister wanted me to tell the church. And I prayed about it, and I said, I don't feel led to do that. I said, you know, individually, that person needed to come to me, and we need to talk it over. You know, not me to get up and say right in front of the whole church, I'm sorry for what I've done, you know. Not that I had a problem with that, but still it just, you know, hey, I think the person that you have that ought with or situation with, you ought to go talk to.
Absolutely.
Work it out. I mean, why does everybody have to know your business in front of the whole church? You know, if you can work it out.
Well, you should try to work it out.
Yes.
And you should make that extra effort by taking somebody with you.
Yes.
Yeah.
If you can't.
Mm-hmm.
But there is, again, we're not supposed to assault another brother.
No.
We're supposed to try to hold one another accountable.
Yes.
So that we can all be faithful to the Lord.
That's right.
That's love.
Very.
That's well, a third very love. Party, you know, I've seen things settled before
mm-hmm.
where I'm talking about in property or in something.
Sure.
If you do that pattern, it even work in business.
Sure.
It even work in business or anything in your life
mm-hmm.
if we follow that pattern.
Yeah.
And so I think some of these biblical principles need to be used not only in our lives, but in business as well as in everyday functionings that go on.
Yeah.
Especially among Christians. We're a Christian nation, supposedly.
Supposedly, yes.
You know, and
we were probably at one point in time.
Right. But you think about it, there's churches still on most every corner where the audience is hearing us now.
True.
Whether you're at, there's churches in your community.
Yes.
And a lot of times they don't get along. But still, you can get believers and you can go and get something settled.
Yeah.
It needs to be settled out of church.
Uh-huh.
You know, I remember a judge came to me one time. There was a dispute in Logan County on this particular church. And this judge came to me and he said, Mike, can't you get some people together and settle this? They had taken it to court.
Wow.
He said, this does not need to be done in court.
Yeah.
This needs to be done in the church.
Yes.
And so I put together a team.
He was wise.
Yeah, put together a team, and we had a big discussion.
Yeah,
different ones came in, gave their opinions, this and that, and then we had a settlement.
Uh-huh.
The team that we put together made the decision of what it would be done.
Yeah,
and so you know a lot of things in church could be settled that way.
Oh, yeah.
You may have to bring somebody from outside in sometime to mediate that because there's so many opinions going different directions.
The whole concept of mediation comes out of that idea.
Right. It comes out of that idea. But some of the churches that we're hearing, some of you hearing me right now, your church is having problems.
Sure.
And it needs to be mediated some way. And you know, instead of just always being right, and we're the ones that's right, and et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
And because it's a very dangerous position to be in.
Very much so.
When you think you're always right.
Even in my Christian life and everything, you know, I've heard it all through my life. Well, my faith is the correct faith.
Yeah.
I've heard that time and time and time again. You know, I'm sitting here going, now, wait a minute. Now, there's many. There's a lot of different churches out there, you know, and I feel like that every one of the churches have good and all, you know.
Oh, yeah.
As long as you're a true believer.
Yeah.
And you believe that you are his child, you know, and stuff. Yeah. But once again, we like we've talked earlier, you know, we have to be so careful that people leading us down the wrong path.
Well, you know,
if it leads us down the wrong path, that's going to lead us into destruction. Am I correct?
Yes, right. Sir.
And we don't want to be in destruction, that's for sure.
You know, Tim and I have been in prison ministry for many years, and this is one issue we deal in prison.
Oh, I bet.
Because you have different ministers come in with different theologies and different things. And
sure.
So trying to maintain a body.
When I was the chaplain there, that was a large percentage of my work.
Sure.
Yeah.
Because two brothers off the yard would come in.
Mm-hmm.
One was following this preacher, mm-hmm. another one following mm-hmm. this preacher, and they'd gotten into a rowdy discussion.
A rowdy discussion.
It's not good to be a rowdy discussion.
No, not in prison.
Well, they're more apt to happen. Anyway, that's another story.
For another time, yeah.
I've had ranking officers on the yard bring those men to me.
Yes.
And bring them to my office and set them down. And you deal with it, chaplain.
Yeah.
And I'd have to talk them through it.
Talk them through it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we I'd say, get your Bibles.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You say this. What's the Scripture say?
What does Scripture say? That's right.
You'll hear me. Somebody say something, and I say, well, where is that in Scripture? Mm-hmm. And that's the way to resolve the problem from my perspective.
Yeah, just show me the Scripture.
Go back to the Word.
Yeah.
Because that's where you – and then you have to look at that word in context.
Right.
We're right back to hermeneutic.
Hermeneutic.
It's a fancy word that says keep it in context.
Keep in context. That's very true. There you go. Well, we're going to break away for a few moments and get into Johnny Erickson Tata sharing hope in a song, and we'll be back shortly.
Have you ever noticed that sometimes God's plans don't make sense? Well, listen now as Johnny helps us make sense of what we don't understand.
It's what makes trusting him such a challenge. That is, unless you are confident of Romans 8:28, right? Believing that he works all things for good. But let's get back to those plans. And let me borrow a scenario from John Piper here. Think about this. Your plan may be this. You intend to make a quick run to the bank between 10 a.m. and 11 a.m. to get cash so you can get back in time to pay the boy who's cutting your lawn. While you're at the bank, your neighbor agrees to watch your four-year-old, and you feel good because it's a doable plan. You work it all out so that you can be back in time for the lawn boy and your neighbor to get to her other engagement. It's a clever plan. Grass cut, bank trip made, kids watched, boy paid, and everyone is off in time for their next appointment. But here's God's plan. On your way, you end up running into a traffic jam, which pushes everything back an hour. You rush home with no money to pay the lawn kid. Plus, you face a frustrated neighbor who missed her appointment with her husband and real estate agent to purchase a new house. You feel awful, and you even feel resentment against God beginning to build. You're frustrated almost to tears. As far as you are concerned, your plan was a big failure. But God's plans? They succeeded. Because you see, your neighbor was scheduled to be at the real estate office at 11:30 a.m. so she could join her husband to close on a new house, a house which, unbeknownst to them, had a terribly flawed foundation. The lawn boy was intending to take his money from cutting your grass and pool it with some other kids to buy drugs that they shouldn't be using. But you didn't know that when you hit the traffic jam and you were locked up on the freeway for an hour and you never got to the bank. But God was totally happy with what happened because he wanted to hinder that boy from buying drugs and he wanted to spare your neighbors the headache of purchasing a house that's a lemon and here's where you come in, And he wanted to grow your faith by you learning to trust him in his sovereignty and wisdom. Now, will you know this side of earth, all those particulars about the lawn boy trying to buy drugs? Will your neighbors ever know that they almost purchased a house that would have been a huge headache? No, of course not. But you can trust God with that which is unseen. You can trust him with what you do not know. Your plans may have failed, but God's priorities totally succeeded. The question is, will you see it as a lesson in learning to trust the Lord in his sovereignty and wisdom? That, my friend, is the point, and that takes faith. Faith no greater than the size of a mustard seed, because God makes it plain in his word that he is sovereign, he is in control, and it's all for our good and his glory. To help strengthen your faith when it comes to God's sovereignty, I want to give you a special gift today. It's a 12-page fold-out pamphlet called Making Sense of Suffering, and it contains scores of Bible verses and really powerful insights to help strengthen your confidence in God, especially when your plans go awry.
That's right, friend. Just go to johnnyradio.org and ask for your free copy of Making Sense of Suffering. And by the way, we'd love to pray for you. So while you're there on our website, be sure to leave us your prayer request too. Remember, it's johnnyradio.org.
I am Brother Mark Fine, pastor of Cedar Bluff Baptist Church in Princeton, Kentucky, and I want to invite you to join us and Missionary Radio on June the 20th from 4 to 6 p.m. at Second Baptist Church in Hopkinsville, Kentucky, in front of the Activities Building. We're going to be doing a Bible drive to collect Bibles and money for Bibles to send around the world to folks that do not have a copy of God's Word. Bring your Bible, use Bible that you're not using. We want you to help us get the Word of God around the world.
Do you ever take things for granted? For example, you turn on the water faucet and out comes either hot or cold water. Some other things most take for granted are an ample supply of food, clothing, and even a roof over your head. We do take a lot for granted. We are thankful for your partnership that keeps us broadcasting the good news 24/7, 365. One thing we might take for granted is you know how to donate to this ministry. The truth is, you may not. One way is to go to our website, missionary.radio. Click on Donate and use your debit or credit card through Cornerstone Payment System. Join the Firm Friend Club, which is a bank draft from your account to ours, or mail your gift to Missionary Radio, P.O. Box 1029, Hopkinsville, Kentucky, 42241. Thank you for praying for, listening to, and giving to 100% listener-funded Missionary Radio.
24/7 Missionary Radio. Phillips, Craig, and Dean with You're Still God, and I'm glad to know that this morning, that he's still God, and that I'm not God, Mike's not God, no. Tim's not God, no. He is God.
Amen.
Amen. Now, we would like to do everything on our own. A lot of us would like to say, hey, I've got it all under control.
I don't know anybody like that. I know people who talk like that.
Yeah,
and I'm glad he's merciful because I've been fried a long time ago.
Amen. You and me both, brother.
Very true. Very true. Yeah, very, very true. But, you know, I'm glad we do serve a God that's merciful and that he loves us. And I'm glad he corrects us when we're wrong.
Yes.
You know.
And Brian, I want to thank everybody that contributes to Missionary Radio.
Yes.
You know, because it keeps us on the air. And I think overall we're very balanced on this radio station.
We are.
And because you deal with so many different faiths and denominations, and I'm talking about in Christian circles.
Sure.
And so I really appreciate all that give to us and share with us. And please continue doing that, because that's how we operate, is through gifts. And we don't have grants. We don't have big things like that. So, you know, we need
donors.
You don't
have an endowment like
we
Harvard
don't have
does.
No, no. We do have gifts at times that people give for certain things or maybe a gift. But we need your gifts, even if it's $20 a month or $100 a month or
sure.
whatever you can send. We're not telling you not to give to your church.
No.
But we're telling you to give extra to help us out here.
That's right.
And we don't come on here and beg for money. You don't hear us begging for money. No. We have a fundraiser ever so often, but still on a daily basis, we have to operate out of Missionary Radio here. So if you're hearing us and you appreciate what we do, send in this logo. You can tell us how they can send it there, Brian, before we get off here.
Sure. I mean, the thing that blesses me about Missionary Radio, I know when I turn on Missionary Radio, even in my automobile listening to it, you know, when I'm driving, I know that it's going to be biblical truth.
Yeah, right.
You know, it's going to be biblical truth. You know, we teach biblical truth, and that's very important in the days and times we listen. What was the word that was said the other day? Fluff? Is it fluff? There's a lot of people like to, you know, fluff. You know, I was like, really? I said, you know.
Make it easy and soft.
Make it easy.
No challenges.
Yeah, no challenges. You know, just fluffy, you know. But, yeah, that's the thing about Missionary Radio. And, you know, I notice when I go out, into our community and stuff, and when people come up and say, you know, I listen to you on Missionary Radio, you know, that means a lot to me because at least I know that I'm doing something I should be doing, you know, and I'm glad that I can talk about Jesus. And, you know, it's like I kind of said a little while ago, I might not be the sharpest tool in the shed, but I said, you know, but I love Jesus and I love talking about him. So.
But, you know, that's a simple gospel.
Oh, yeah.
The simple gospel is the power of God.
Oh, yes.
I mean, you know, it's simple.
Very simple.
And our theme today is about the sovereignty of God, is how that power is manifest.
Yes.
So, 1 Chronicles chapter 29, verse 11 says, "Yours, O Lord, is the greatness and the power and the glory and the victory and the majesty. Indeed, everything that is in the heavens and the earth, yours is the dominion, O Lord, and you exalt yourself as head over all."
Amen.
I
like that last part, head over all.
Overall.
That's why Christ has preeminence in all things.
Right.
That's why he's to be treated as number one.
Absolutely. Not number two.
Not one in a long list of the one and only Savior.
Yes.
Yes.
Right?
Now, you know, and I believe too, you know, that we need to put him first in every decision we make.
Absolutely.
Yes, definitely.
You know, I've heard I get tickled at him sometimes. My pastor, he'll say, you know, he said, I even pray, which, of course, we got, you know, two gas stations there in Elkton. He said, I even pray which one the Lord wants me to go to. He said, when I go get gas.
That is specific.
He said, you know, because he said, there might be somebody there that I need to pray
with. That's true, yes.
Or need to witness to.
Right.
And he said, a lot of times when I do that, he said, there's somebody that needs to talk to me or somebody needs prayer. But he said, I do. He said, we got one grocery store. He said, you know, and, you know, just pray about the things you do because you never know when you might go into some place who you're going to reach that day for the Lord.
We're watching for opportunities to share the good news.
That's it.
And Lord, help us to recognize those opportunities when you put them before us.
There you go. There you go. That's pretty plain and simple.
It says, in everything with prayer and supplication, let your request be. In what?
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
That cover everything?
Pretty much.
Cover everything.
Everything.
Now, that's hard to do sometimes.
It is.
You know?
It is.
To be conscious to do that.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, much so.
But it's a command. It's not a choice.
I agree with that. I really do.
In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, starting in verse 5, then Jehoshaphat stood in the assembly of Judah and Jerusalem in the house of the Lord in the new court, and he said, Lord, the God of our fathers, are you not God in the heavens? And are you not ruler over all the kingdoms of the nations? Power and might are in your hands so that no one can stand against you.
Mm-mm.
We need to understand that God is absolutely sovereign in all things.
All things. That he is the ruler over all.
Yep.
Not just some, but ruler over all.
Absolutely.
Man, that's good stuff.
He's always right.
Always right.
God is always right.
Mm-hmm.
God always. Never makes a mistake.
Never makes a mistake.
No.
That's right.
God never needs to be corrected.
Mm-mm.
If we can just be still and know him as God. We can be still sometime. Sure. In our mind. Get that mind under control.
Yeah.
You know, try to. Yeah. Your mind is the biggest battlefield anyway.
You know.
Learn to be still.
You know, you talk about being still sometimes, you know, like I know back, you know, ever so often I just like to sit outside and mm-hmm. just close my eyes mm-hmm. and just listen to all the sounds that's around, the birds chirping. Mm-hmm. You can hear all the noises. And then you can take in hand and say, Lord, you made every bit of this.
Amen.
You know.
And you hold it all together.
And you hold it all together. And then you hear the wind blow. Mm-hmm. And you think, you're making the wind blow, Lord. You know, I might get a little emotional, but, you know, but I love to know that he is the master of the wind. He's
That's
the creator of everything.
Yes, he is.
He makes the waves in the ocean. Yes. I mean, it just everything he does is just, to me, I would put it as perfecto.
Yeah, well, it is perfect because he is.
That's right. That's right.
See, creation reflects him.
Yes.
Again, Nehemiah 9:6 says, you alone are the Lord. You have made the heavens, the heaven of heavens with all their host, the earth and all that is on it, the seas and Amen. All that is in them. You give life to all of them, and the heavenly host bows down before you. You are the Lord God.
Amen.
That's the one we serve.
Amen.
Yes, sir.
Every single day. Love
Amen.
Him. I really love him. Well, we got probably about a minute or so, well, a little over a minute left. Anything you would like to add this morning, Mike? Anything going on? I know y'all have
Bible study at 10:30.
Yeah. 10:30.
Russellville at Agape House. There.
At the Agape
House. Actually, we'll be in Carrico Center today.
Yeah. Okay, going to be at the Carrico Center. Where, what's the address on that one?
It's right next to the Agape.
It's 501 Johnson Street.
Okay.
It's next to H&H Sheet Metal in Logan County there. Everybody All knows right. where that's at. So
oh, yeah.
Be glad to have you come to Bible study and you hear us. I know a lot of people in the county do hear us.
Sure, sure.
And are in over in Todd County as well. So
Absolutely.
You know.
Absolutely.
Anything we have a else? Good time opening the Word and talking with one another, sharing with one another.
Yeah.
Rejoicing in God's grace.
Amen. Amen. Anything else?
Thank God.
If not.
For Brian.
Well, thank you. I appreciate
you
y'all
job,
too.
Thank you, Brian. Appreciate
I,
you, brother.
I appreciate y'all too. I tell you what, Tim, will you mind to just pray us out of here today?
No, I don't mind. Holy Father, we come before you in the blessed name of Jesus. And we thank you for your grace and your mercy, your tender loving kindness that you so richly pour out upon us every moment of every day. We can't move without your hand upon us. We can't succeed at anything unless you are guiding and directing us. We thank you for the privilege of knowing you, for the privilege of having your word, for the privilege of fellowship with brothers and sisters in Christ. For all that you are doing, we give you praise. Now, Lord, we ask for revival in the land we so desperately needed.
Amen.
Help us, Lord, that your name might be glorified, and use us to that end, we pray in Christ's name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thanks for listening to The Front Porch this morning, and join us again tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. for The Front Porch here on Missionary Radio.